Welcome to The Crossroads, the dynamic intersection of life and sports, with your host, Coach TJ. Get ready for an electrifying edition where we explore the fascinating crossroads of life and sports right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Start the weekend with us Fridays at 6 p.m. Today's lineup is packed with barn burners that are sure to go viral. Hold tight as we punch into the heart of the action. Are you ready to jump in? Let's make this ride unforgettable.
What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to the cross.
All right, welcome to the Crossroads with Francis Cooper. We had some mic troubles here right off the bat with Coach TJ. He will be back in just a moment. I'm excited to do the show with him today. We're going to get into a lot of different things, including the March Madness, but I'm just filling in until Coach TJ's mic gets back to where it needs to be. Coach TJ, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for opening up. And wow, some technical difficulties there. Sometimes with technology, it doesn't go right at times. I had, you know, you have your alarm set and it's going through all my tasks for today. I didn't realize I had it set for 12 noon, even though I've been up since 8 a.m. this morning. So it's all good. We're back, you know. I'm just ready to get into some sports talk here, you know, at the crossroads of life and sports. I'm just sick. You know, Princess, you already introduced yourself. I'm the host, Coach TJ, and ready to get into it, Princess.
Let's do it. Come on.
All right. So you was covering the women's game yesterday. Tell me, you know, what you saw.
You know, we were talking a little bit off air, and I always get excited about this. And Thomas, I get excited from the media credential interest to the media room where, you know, all the hustle and bustle, and you get to see all the other outlets and what they're doing and, you know, sitting down for that. And then being the easy access from the media room out to the floor. And seeing everybody prepare. So I got to see two games yesterday, and that is North Carolina Tar Heels, as far as women's basketball is concerned, here in the Columbia, South Carolina area, and Michigan State. And I thought that that North Carolina's speed was a little bit faster than speed of the game was faster than Michigan State. But North Carolina couldn't hit a whole lot of shots going down, and Michigan State came back and tied that game and almost won it in the last few seconds. And I think that at one time North Carolina may have been up 11 or 12. But it was just good to see the interaction of the coaches and how they come out, you know, for warm-ups and whether they stay out for the national anthem or not. And, you know, even the interaction with the mascots and how they handle TV times. And then the next game tip-off was okay because 11:30 to 1:30 for North Carolina, Michigan State tip-off for South Carolina and Presbyterian was right at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And got a chance to see that game too. But, again, just to be able to realize the exact speed of the game, I think it's You really can't tell that unless you're, you know, sideline or on the court or near that or, you know, at the game period and to see the magic of the fans and everything. But it was a good experience, you know, to have that access and to be able to go back tomorrow for North Carolina and in South Carolina. I think that'll be a good game, and I think North Carolina's going to give them a run for their money. I just think there's so much depth on South Carolina's side.
Oh, absolutely. And you've been covering the women's game for some time. So let's just take it back over 5 years. What has been the difference with the level of excitement? I know, and I'm speaking from a guy's perspective, I've heard more guys over the last 2 years, you know, watching women's college basketball, they have been more excited. It may not follow WNBA, but they could tell you about their favorite women's college team. What is your views on that?
I'm going to go back a little further when I was growing up and just say that the women's game was you run down there and steal the ball, we fall on the floor, you run back and steal the ball and fall on the floor, and the game is 35-30 at the end of the
and I remember those days.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can remember some of those days. And that wasn't every game, because there were stars back there then that I thought were pioneers and changed the game. But from 5 years ago, we've seen it where, you know, a lot of these women's jump shot rivals the same form of a Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan or Steph Curry. You know, even the style of play that they make and the ball handlers has really changed. And a lot of these young ladies are mentored in the off season. I remember Leah Boston, center for the Gamecocks last year. 2 years ago, she spent the summer with Tim Duncan and let him mentor her. And he talked about the entire game, and the entire game being her diet to her workouts to her performance on the floor. So, but the difference is the skill set, and the skill set has improved so much. It's not like the speed or the height was not there, but now the skill set
right.
has caught up, and a lot of these women can really handle the ball. A lot of these women can really shoot the rock, you know, and it just didn't start with Caitlin Clark, although she's taken it to another level. And then the height to go with it. And now we have a couple of women who are dunking the ball, Ashley Watkins from South Carolina, Gamecocks being one of them, and we've seen it in live action. Now, I don't know if it'll ever get to where the men are. They really can jump fast, you know, jump higher and run faster. But
right.
another thing that I've seen is that a lot of women's basketball teams, when they're scouting and when they're practicing, practice against men, those who are bigger and stronger. And that's only going to make you bigger and stronger. As a matter of fact, South Carolina travels with the men's team, and their responsibility is to practice against the women and to go through all of their sets. And each year that they've won the national championship, the men's practice team has gotten those national championship rings too. But that's it. The difference is the skill set. I was talking to Duck Riley the other day, and we were talking about you can't teach height.
No, you cannot.
But a lot of times, we talk about Edie with Purdue, and I don't think he's lived up to all of his expectations, but I cannot down him. You know, I think he's going to win Player of the Year again. But sometimes he said when you have height and you don't have the skill set with it, you know, the brothers used to say, hey, man, why don't you sell that height? And that's true. We really feel
oh, wow.
if you
yeah.
have height, you should have basketball skill set.
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
That does not
you
correlate.
You ever see somebody in corporate America, they're about 6'6", and mm-hmm. you'd be like, you play ball. And they'd be like, no,
hey, man,
didn't.
You play? no.
No. And voice, you know, gets real low. Man, no, man. No, man, I was a bookworm.
Mm-hmm.
All that height.
Mm-hmm. so,
yeah,
but yeah,
so
that's
Duck
the
is definitely right on that
the
one.
Game down is the skill set. The skill set has improved tremendously to the point where a lot of times, TJ, I say to myself, wow, you know, these young ladies are freshmen like Juju Watkins and Hannah Hidalgo with Notre Dame and Elisa Morrow with LSU. All three of them were a part of, you know, players of the year, players of their conference. And
right.
I think that has changed too, where there's no more kind of sitting on the bench and, you know, and learning as a freshman. Freshmen are playing.
Yeah. Talking about the skill level, I remember a few, maybe that COVID year or 2021, her first name was Diamond. I forget her last name, and she had a dribble like Iverson. Matter of fact, they were calling her like Little Iverson. I think she went to North Carolina State, and she transferred out. I don't know where she is now. But
Diamond DeShields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was going to play. They wanted her to play in the men's McDonald's All-American game, but she was so good. I'm just like, how did she develop that? As a man, I can't dribble like that. Never could, and she could put the ball on a string.
and she could do it with her she could do it with her man's ball or the ball that the females play with. She was just all around just gifted. So you know, you're 100% right. In the game, you know, it's watchable. So from a marketing standpoint, way it's shot, the way it's covered, I was watching First Take yesterday. They were having a real full-out debate about USC in South Carolina. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of buildup. I would love to see Juju go up and that team go up against South Carolina in a final or a final four type of matchup. I think that would be great, you know, for the women's game, and it's great ratings for television. I think the women, some of these women's games, like if LSU and Iowa meet again, I think the ratings are going to be high as maybe the men's a Final Eight game. Maybe not the Final Four or championship, but I think it could definitely get hit the ratings of a men's Final Eight, depending on who's there, if anyone cares at that point. I know I don't care right now, but I'm not going to get into that conversation a little later about my bracket and how I was let down again.
You know what? ESPN has reported that the Final Four tickets, the women's Final Four tickets are selling 6 times faster than the men's. So that just goes to show, again, the popularity or the exposure or the new brand that the women's game is bringing. And it's because of the freshman. I didn't even mention Malaysia Phil Wiley with the Gamecocks, who I think she attempted 9 or 10 threes yesterday. She made 6 or 7. But she's a freshman, and she was given the green light. And, you know, and that's the difference.
Is that the young lady that passes like magic?
Yeah, that's her. That's the one that Magic said on Twitter, hey, you know, you better watch out for this young lady. That is her.
Oh,
but her three shot was on yesterday.
She's wicked. She's wicked with the ball. Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better be paying attention with her, because you don't know, that ball may be coming to you. She's looking one way, and she's got it, you know, behind. She's gonna do something behind her back like magic. Dang, this girl is bad.
Oh, yeah.
She's bad.
You got to give it to her. And then to have her sign this week as the first college athlete to sign with the Steph Curry brand. So they made that announcement, and Steph Curry spent some time in the photo shoot with her. And then she signed a contract with Red Bull. The Red Bull's first college athlete that they signed with, or maybe first college women's athlete. So I every time I see one of these, I have to congratulate them, but I sure go back to my college playing days and go, man, where was this type of money when I was coming along? But these corporations were there, but the NIL has really opened it up.
Yeah, and you're fine. You know, I think we got to this before. I know we're going to definitely talk more about NIL on future shows, but it seems like on the ladies' side, it's more real name, image, and likeness. They actually have products that they're marketing where their name and image is beside something. It's not just you know, the bag. And that's the one thing I think is missing and need to clean up on the men's side. And get it down to what it was meant to be, you know, when they created this whole thing.
Yeah, name and image and likeness is just that. I think you're actually, you know, getting into the game, and your potential is being realized, and your potential then starts, you know, increasing your exposure and your brand, and then others want to collaborate with you and pay you for additional exposure because your success on and off the court or field has been realized. So it's a little bit different. With men and men's sports, especially football and men's basketball, the bag is left at the door to encourage you to come to their university. You know, it's different. They're actually trying to buy your commitment, and then we'll worry about your potential and your performance or your skill set once you get here. So, yeah, as we thought it was going to be, I think the women's game has seen it play out more like we thought it was.
Right.
On the men's side, maybe others thought that. I don't know if I did, maybe some. But, you know, you don't have to go and sneak around anymore. As a matter of fact, in the state of Tennessee, they've now passed a law in Congress that says that the collectives, which is those trustees that now have been charged with gathering all the money and offering all the money or securing the money, they can call any athlete they want in the country and encourage them to come to Tennessee and give them some money.
They don't have to
go through any coach or any trustees or any college. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing to me.
Yeah. It'll all play itself out. You know, right now, it's like the Wild West. You know, within the next 5 years, they will figure out a way how to corral it and get everything on an even playing field for everyone. But it's going to take some time. It's really going to take folks that are really creative. And this could bring about a change within the NCAA. I've heard conversations, you know, they don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen that the NCAA could be going away. You know, if things in business, you know, can run its course. No one ever thought, you know, that Gimbel's, JCPenney's, Sears, some of these institutions to fail. But we've seen, you know, we've seen them come and we've seen them go in business. So the NCAA is no different. If they don't get themselves together, they realize that time is changing. And the folks, we're right up on our first break. We have to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Give you a little bit of teaser. We're going to talk about one shining moment and get into some of the all-time greatest college March Madness upsets. So we'll see you on the other side.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Want to relax? Check out Chill Out Jazz on FBRN.us every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 5 Central Time. It's Chill Out Jazz, the soulful mix of smooth jazz. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 5 Central Time, right here on FBRN. I've got the perfect mix to help you chill out jazz. It's the coolest 2 hours of your day. Jump in smoothly.
Back at the crossroads where life and sports intersect. I'm your host, Coach TJ. I'm here with Princess Cooper, and welcome once again to our special Saturday morning March Madness edition. Princess, it's March Madness, and you remember the song "One Shining Moment" that they play, you know, at the end of the national championship. That's right. Yeah, it is. And you think about one shining moment, you know, when it comes to college basketball. That's a true statement. And some of the things that go on during the tournament, I know we all say that, you know, we have
you know, we have psychic abilities. We know we are prognosticators when it comes to NCAA selections. But over the years, I've had some serious heartbreaks, including this year. I mean, I remember, you know, that 1991 championship game, Duke against UNLV. I remember going out and watching the game because I knew that UNLV was going to win. And they did.
Yeah.
They lost in the final. I was so heartbroken. I can only imagine, you know, the student body and all the alumnus.
Last second? Was that the Christian Lakener last second play?
That game actually was in Philadelphia, and that game was against Jamal Mashburn's Kentucky. But that propelled them to the final eight. That propelled them to the final four. I remember being so pissed off because I had Kentucky winning that game. That you just remind me about that because that was a game he stepped on Jamal Mashburn and should have been kicked out of the game, not even be eligible to take that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, you just brought back up some bad memories there. But, you know, it broke my heart. You know, in 1993, Santa Clara versus Arizona. I think that was a 14-2 game. I remember my heart being broken in 2001 with Hampton versus Iowa State, that Marcus Fizer team, when Hampton pulled off that upset. I think that was a 15-2 game. And just recent, Kentucky losing to St. Peter's. That happened here in Philadelphia. I was upset then. And now with Kentucky losing to Oakland, it just messed my bracket up, Princess. messed it up completely. And apparently, it messed everyone's bracket up, too, around the country. After that game, according to ESPN, there were no more perfect brackets. And it only got worse, you know, with Auburn losing to Yale.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming? I don't even think people that go to Yale saw that coming. You know,
no, and I think they were down 11 or 12 with – you know, with four, or maybe that was another game. But I remember seeing some of that game, and Auburn was rolling there for a moment. But
you know, you're right. You know, Yale just walked them down. And like what?
Mm-hmm.
The pressure defense, turnovers, and big baskets. And they played team ball in their mid-range game along with the three-point shooting. I was watching. I saw highlights of the game because I couldn't believe it. So I went back and watched some of the highlights on YouTube, and it kind of reminded me of that Pete Carrell's team when Princeton beat Arizona. A lot of backdoor cuts. They play really smart ball. Probably why they go to Yale. So hats off to it. You know, what's the other school? Grand Canyon. Never heard of them.
Took care of St. Mary's, yeah.
Yeah, I thought St. Mary's was going to go far. They usually do. They're kind of like Gonzaga. They'll surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, Princess, what about that 2021 cycle when you had Oral Roberts beating Ohio State and Florida? I know that didn't make you feel good there.
How you have to bring up some of those things, huh?
Hey, we're going to talk about Kentucky mm-hmm. today. We're going to talk about Florida. We're going to, you know. But you don't know. You think you know. And you be going and go through the match preview and who beat who and who has a stronger rating, blah, 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 blah. And these one-game scenarios, throw it all out the door.
There you go.
Throw it all.
There
you go. You might as well pick your favorite mascot. Whoever has the best mascot,
mm-hmm.
that's who you choose.
Because there's six games where you have to really just consider the matchup. And you don't know the matchup until a day and a half before. And you have to have the strongest of scouts and the strongest of assistants to get in there As I watched yesterday, the teams that won, you know, came out, came in there, and to watch the next game because they wanted to scout and see what they were doing and where they are right now, because everybody's won a conference tournament or played in a conference tournament. Either you won or you lost, but you've had some time off. And the women have had off almost a week and a half. So,
right.
You know, that scouting has to be done. Yeah, 2 weeks in some cases. So you got to get the scouting is the biggest thing. And all of this prediction is just we're just playing a game. We're just playing around and said, okay, yeah, they're going to beat this and this, because the game still has to be played. But I can tell you, I don't know any bracket in America that had Yale beating Auburn and Oakland beating Kentucky. No
people,
one had that in their bracket.
People thought that
in
Oakland,
the first round.
Was it California? Like, I never heard
exactly.
of Oakland. And then Oakland is right outside Detroit near Auburn Hills.
Mm-hmm.
little small school. I'm pretty sure Kentucky didn't know where they were. but they know now. And it's going to be funny. You know, those players from Oakland are going to be able to say, hey, when DJ Wagner makes it to the NBA, whether it's this year or next year, and he becomes the star that, say, Alexander is or Murray from Denver or Devin Booker, he's going to be able to say, I beat him. Now, DJ may not remember him, but, oh, yeah, I remember that night. But this guy gets to remember it forever. That guy was lights out shooting three. They couldn't stop him. They tried to zone him, you know, boxing one. He was shooting right over top. It's hard to beat somebody when they're that red hot. And you're not playing playing good defense, but we're going to get to that. You know, later with Calipari, but I mean, you talk about one shining moment. Oakland may get put out the tournament, you know, today, but
it's okay. They beat Kentucky.
That right there is a fundraiser for that school.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about having a collective, or having the potential to get some transfers into the school. Hey, we took down Kentucky. You want to come play here?
And Oakland is the school where the coach has been there 40 years, and he's
that is
retiring.
Correct.
And so he gets one more game before he rides off into the sunset. And oh, by the way, it happens to be the biggest win in his entire life. They've beaten, he said, other Power Fives, but this is the biggest win. And it's Kentucky, and it did my heart good to see John Calipari walk off of that floor like, Lord have mercy. What do I say in the press conference now?
You know, Prince, this brings up something else. I don't think a lot of times they should put a mic in front of someone's face after a loss. Like, give them a moment. Because what I may say ain't going to sound too gracious, and I hate people judge people on what they say, on what they're feeling after a loss. No one has it together. It's like people, like the media and fans, they think, you know, people are robots. You know, I've never experienced a loss that I wanted to talk about right after. It's like, man, get away from me.
Oh yeah,
You show me a gracious loser, and I'm going to show you a loser. So,
that's right.
So when people say things, make comments that don't live up to what I think they are or what we may perceive them to be, I give them grace. I don't look at what they say within the moment. I'll judge them a day later, after they're able to get their thoughts and analyze, you know, the moment that they're in. So I think if we're going to have to start judging, you know, our athletes and our coaches, you know, with that, our owners, you know, put a mic in front of Jerry Jones's mouth right after a loss and see what he says. He's going to say a lot that may not be becoming. No, but that's the way we're wired. So,
I agree with you.
I don't think Tyler Perry handled it well. I don't think Bruce Pearl handles it well. No one handles it well when they lose, especially when they know that their team is capable of doing better. And they look at and you start analyzing the mistakes that you made with adjustments throughout. Hats off to Oakland. Hats off to Yale. Hats off to Grand Canyon. Hats off to everyone that pulled out a upset or that was able to win. And like you said, in the one game scenario where you really didn't get a chance to scout, that's hard. It's hard when you can scout versus when you can't scout, you know. But that's why
that is the magic.
It's the NCAA tournament. That's why it's and there you go. That's why they call it. That's why you call it madness. And you think you know basketball once again, you don't. You don't. It's only going to frustrate you, and your ego's gonna come into it. I know in our group chat, and I was talking big shit about Kentucky. when I lose, hey, I'll admit it, you know. I ain't no shame in my game, you know. You know, I'm always going to root for Kentucky. I mean, I love what Tyler Perry does, you know, for the game. And, you know, I think he's a good coach. And it shows with the amount of the NBA players that he has in the league. So which brings us into our next conversation is to talk about what's actually important to Kentucky and Calipari and the fan base, because I don't know if it's necessarily championships at this point. I think Kentucky enjoys having the most amount of stars going on to the NBA. I think that's kind of what they value, and people criticize Calipari. They'll say, "Well, he's getting all these one and done." Like I was just looking through the rankings, recruiting class rankings for next year, and the class that he has coming in is second to Duke, but it's one of his best. It'll be one of his best classes ever. But if you start going through the scholarship list, every school in America offered these kids, but they either chose Duke or they chose Kentucky. And you have a few that are waiting to sign, and they are choosing between three schools, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke. So for everyone to say that he's only going after one and dones, you know, your school is going after them too. They still have a shot of being chosen, even with a collective. Texas is offering these schools to these kids to Texas A&M, USC, but they're choosing to go to three schools. So I think that's something to be said to be chosen. I think one of the biggest problems now with these younger kids, they don't play together. I didn't see a team playing against Oakland. I saw individuals. If this was a one-on-one game, they blow those individual players out. But as a team, not playing team defense and backing up each other, I don't think you can overcome that. And I also question, how much does Calipari have left? I know I just stated sometimes you can't judge somebody by what they say after a game, but I don't see that same Tyler Perry that I saw back in 2011 or 2010 or 2015. I know that things are different, but do you think, Princess, maybe a change of scenery could be needed? Like he still has the coach, but sometimes when you're in a place too long, you kind of get complacent.
Well, I have two things here. The first thing, I wanted to go back to being the mic in your face and trying to be a gracious loser, because I'm not a gracious loser either, and I like what you said. If you see one, then they're basically okay with losing or maybe a loser. But the game has come to that, and technology has come to that, where we're just not interviewing coaches. We're not interviewing coaches in press conference or after they leave the court. We're now micing them up in the middle of games, micing up players before the game, and we are now having in-game interviews. When the second half ends, we're having in-game interviews. So it continues. So the emotions are there, and that's what the camera and now stations or whatever outlets they're trying to capture, is that in-the-moment feelings. Sometimes, though, it's disappointing, and you can understand why. You shouldn't just put a mic in someone's face when they're losing or have lost. So I did want to say that. Now back to Calipari, because I think you said something that the fans are okay with Calipari's style too, and I don't think so. Calipari has been now with Kentucky 15 years and has over 400 wins. But he only has one national championship. And whether he's recruiting one and done or not, whatever formula he has is not correlating to national championships. And you cannot tell me that Kentucky fans, Big Blue Nation, right there on Tobacco Row, is okay with the performances. Because what happens is in the regular season, you're winning 25, 26, 20, 29 games. As a matter of fact, when they won the national championship, they had 38 wins. And that was his third season there. So that was 12 years ago. And since then, he's done nothing. And nothing, when I say that, means he's not gotten to the national championship game and won. He went to the NIT, but the last 3 years, he hasn't gotten out of the – he lost in the first round twice and then got to the second round and lost there. And then the year before that, of course, was pandemic.
Can I interject something here? And I was doing some research before the show, and two coaches that I love, Jerry Tarkanian and Dean Smith. Dean Smith only has one more championship than John Calipari, and he's actually tied with Jerry Tarkanian. John Chaney, as great as he was, only has none. John Thompson has one. So I think,
but Calipari
is a young
league,
right? He's a young
NBA players and national championships.
He's a young 65 years old. So I'm saying that he's going to get it done. I don't know if it's going to be at Kentucky, but he's going to get two.
No,
I guarantee you, he gets a second title. He gets a second title.
You guaranteed me a national championship by Kentucky last week. You said they were going to win it.
It's actually in our text group. I guaranteed you a final eight. I said Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Final eight. As a matter of fact, me and Kev, we were talking back and forth. And I was like, well, what do you think? He was just like, nah, Kentucky's going to do what Kentucky does. And I was like, no, they're going to do a final eight this year. It's going to be a final eight year. But I think John is going to adapt, and he's going to get the one-and-done transfer player, an older player that set the culture. You know, a good coach has players that will coach other players when he's not there. These young guys, some of them have an attitude like, hey, I'm just here for a pit stop. You know, I was listening to Keyshawn Johnson. He said that some of these players don't even know what a cafeteria is. So, you know, John's going to have to go back to the old school style if he wants to remain in coaching. He's going to have to demand to do it his way. They're going to have to be more physical. They were not physical at all. Sometimes they were not, you know, hard filing. Sometimes you got to intimidate folks. He doesn't have a DeMarcus Cousins there. I haven't seen a really physical player at Kentucky. Even Karl Anthony Towns was not physical. But Anthony Davis was physical. Julius Randle was physical.
Kentucky's going to do what they've always done. And that is come rolling into the tournament. As a matter of fact, they couldn't afford this, Thomas. They couldn't afford to go into the SEC championship, no, SEC tournament and lose
and
their
lost.
First game. And then to come into the tournament and lose their first game.
That right there should have been a sign, everyone, and you're 100% right. When that happened, I was kind of like, okay, because sometimes teams will lose in a tournament to get more teams in. They lost to Mississippi State, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
or Texas A&M. I can't remember.
No, Texas,
I'll pull it up
Texas
here.
Yeah, it lost to Texas. It lost to Texas A. Lost to Texas A&M, which was a lower seed. So that actually lost. Actually, got more teams in students from the SEC. So I was thinking it kind of brushed it aside, you know, as some type of conference strategy. But the way they lost by 10 points, it looked really bad. And the thing that no one's really talking about: why isn't DJ Wagner playing? He was the crown jewel of that class, and I'm hearing a lot of things coming out of Kentucky that he may transfer. I'm kind of stumped, you know, and I'm waiting to hear more things come out. But he's, you know, DJ's not living up to, you know, what he was advertised, you know, coming in from high school. Maybe it's a maturity thing. You know, the adjustment to the college game. I know he's going to probably, if he comes out, he's going to go in the top 15 based upon his potential. You know, and who his father was and his grandfather. But he doesn't look like a top 25 pick to me. But, you know, who are we? Is that a Kyler Perry issue, or is it some of the kids and not Max are not doing the work?
Well, if the kids aren't doing the work, then the coaches, you got to put it back on the coaches aren't doing the work either.
Right.
They're not putting in, they're not getting results. Whatever their scheme or practice or, you know, whatever format they're laying out is not being productive. So I think it still all falls back on the coaches for sure. I have never... I just want to squeeze this in, been a believer of John Calipari. I didn't like him at UMass or Memphis. And I think anybody that knows me know that. And you know me now, so you know my side of this. But I think that Big Blue Nation, which is what they call Kentucky Wildcats and all of their rabbit fans, thought that the one and done – the promise that I'm going to be in your living room and I'm going to get your son to the NBA, that would also extend and translate to wins in national championships. And it has not. And I watched that Oakland game against Kentucky the other day. The fans in the stands were stunned, first of all. And then all the older ladies were sitting there praying. They were praying for a miracle that Oakland was going to somehow, you know, not convert their free throws down the stretch, and that some way that Calipari had a magic 4-point play, a 3-point shot and a foul, and that did not happen. But they were disappointed, and this is starting. And I think there are a lot of people out there that are just like Kevin, and that is Kentucky is going to do what they do. And what they do is get your hopes up and then let you down. And I'm not saying that my college team doesn't do that either. They do it every year in every sport. Heck, I'll watch Florida Gator track and field and lacrosse and soccer. I'll watch it all and go, oh, man, we lost, and carry it for a couple of days. Sometimes with football and basketball, I carry it for a week. But I think Big Blue Nation is tired, and it had John Calipari in his press conference say, maybe we need to take a look at things. Maybe we need a different approach. He knew that some of that language needed to have been in his press conference, and I applaud all coaches who handle themselves well in the midst of losing, that you have to go to that locker room and say something to your players, and then the media is knocking on the door and said, hey, you need to be in the seats in 10 minutes. And you got to go out there and swipe your mind and try to give them the best answers you can give when really you want to say, okay, dude, don't ask me that question. Okay, seriously, you know, I don't know, you know.
It takes a special person, once again, to be able to do that, you know, to be outside of themselves and sit in front of that microphone and answer the questions. And sometimes the reporters ask stupid questions to needle you. And I think that's the moment where they'll pull a Giannis and just get up and walk out of the press conference. Like, why are you asking that question?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you asking me the same? If I just answer that question for this guy or a woman reporter over here, why are you coming back and asking me the same question? But in a different way.
I give you a short answer over here to this guy. And then over here, you ask the same question. You just form it a different way. But it's the same foolishness. And so I'm looking at you like, and I remember Giannis saying, okay. Because the question I think was, did you fail this year? Is this a failure? Because you didn't get in, you didn't win it all.
Can you imagine someone asked Tyler Perry that?
Yeah,
way?
And
oh
so
my,
Giannis said, well, did
oh
you fail
God.
When you lost your job? You know?
Absolutely.
Life is a process. I remember that.
And you know what? That's a competitor. I want to hear more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear if Kyle Perry would have stepped to the mic and someone asked him a question, he would have fired back at them about their shortcomings at life and just be there. Took that time to be a bully. I would have loved it. I would have loved it. But once again, I don't know any winners that act like losers in the time of, even if you look at these CEOs of these Fortune 500 companies, they take a big L. They ain't happy about it. Oh, we'll get them next time. If they lose a dollar, they pissed off, let alone if they lost $1 million or more. No, so, you know, I don't know, Princess.
Let me say this to TJ. And that is that leading up to the SEC tournament, several coaches got big raises. You know, South Carolina Gamecocks, Lamar Parrish, went from $1.something million to $4.3 million with an extension through 2030. And he lost his first game in the SEC tournament and then lost his first game in the March Madness tournament against Oregon. And their former player, who was on the team, transferred out of South Carolina and now with Oregon, he scored 40 points. He came in and he said, I'm going to show them
I saw that. You know what? That busted my bracket, too. I picked South Carolina.
Yep. Florida Gators went into the tournament and got all the way to the championship game. That coach got a raise, got a huge bump and an extension and more money. They announced that during the tournament. They lose in the first round against Colorado, and Colorado just played yesterday.
Colorado, the day before. They were in a play-in game.
Was in the play-in. So, as a matter of fact, five or six SEC teams lost in the first round. You know, Mississippi State lost, Florida lost, Auburn lost, Kentucky lost. You know, there were a lot of losses.
It may be the scheduling.
South Carolina lost.
It should be a little different. Like we just start looking at the strength of schedules, you know, for the SEC. I think they're beating up on each other, but they don't see a different style. Maybe they should play the smaller schools, you know, to get ready for a tournament. Or go to
they schedule those different styles. Yeah, and those holiday tournaments and they do schedule styles, but those styles go away once you get into SEC play, which starts right in, you know, at the end of January. So you only see that style of play then. You don't go play out and go out of conference once that starts. And the conference play now is, 18 games. So they're beating up on each other. But in the conference championship, I thought that, you know, SEC had 18 in. I think they have two left. And I think it's Texas A&M and Alabama. Those are the only two left. It's a shame. But, again, you get this money because you had a really great season, and then you don't do anything. But I thought Calipari, and I've seen him walk away from losses before, but I thought he looked emotional when he walked off the floor against Oakland.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was preparing himself for the headlines and the questions. And then he still had to take his team home and get off of that plane in the state of Kentucky. And that's how they know in Kentucky is their sports, and they root for them. They don't have any professional teams there. All they have is Big Blue Nation. They don't have any professional teams there. So, you
that
know.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
For
but
sure.
Princess, we're going to have to pay some bills up against a hard break. Because we kind of ran a little bit over. Wow, folks, I'm emotional right now. Folks, you just don't understand. All my brackets had Kentucky either winning it or going to the Final Eight, except for one. I did have Connecticut in one. Was a driving engine of my bracket, you know, to go far. So. Once again,
I didn't have Kentucky or Auburn in any of my final fours.
Once again, folks, I am let down. And we're here live on a Saturday. Never had it so good. Sports Talk Radio, the crossroads of life and sports intersect. We'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
And we're back. Princess, quick question. When is it a proper time to call a foul? The other night, the Kansas-Sanford game, 14.7 seconds left, game on the line. Kansas goes to the basket, and it appeared that the Sanford player fouled the Kansas player and going up for the dunk. But what actually happened, he actually caught ball, and he didn't touch him at all. The guy hung on the rim and then fell. The ref calls the foul. But everyone saw that was watching the replay that it wasn't a foul. He was never touched. Do you call that? Was that reviewable? And when they come out and say, my bad, who wants to hear that? Where that was such a pivotal call that swung the outcome of the game. Kansas was not going to win that game. Stanford was robbed. Did the refs have Kansas in their pool? Was there money on the line? Somebody's officiating in this tournament has been awful. Awful. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts.
I'm not even gonna talk about the officiating in that Oakland Kentucky game. It's awful. But that's a whole nother conversation. Yes, Russ, NCAA, you guys played a role. You guys don't like Kyle Perry. So you guys put a little something extra into his game. We're not even gonna get into that.
I know I sent them some money. I sent the rest of the money for that Oakland.
You probably did. You heard it here, folks. Well, never had it so good. Allegedly, she sent money.
Confessing.
Allegedly. Oh, damn. It's not
allegedly.
Even allegedly. You allegedly confessing.
No, I'm confessing for sure. I thought they got robbed.
You part of the collective against Calipari.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I find him, well, I think his personality just doesn't connect with mine, and we're going to leave it there. So
yeah,
I don't sound like too much of a hater. You have to say
he's a love or hate type of guy. There's no in between with him. Some people are just like that.
Yeah.
And you don't know why you like him. Man, I hate him. I hate him. You know, I get it. I get it. But Sanford was robbed, definitely. So I'm glad it wasn't
No
just
one
me.
Wanted to see Coach TJ. Nobody wanted to. Kansas travels well. Duke travels well. Kansas travels well. Kentucky travels well. Auburn travels well. You know, so those teams travels well. Nobody wanted to see Sanford in to go to the second round of 32 and then possibly to the Sweet 16. They had to go ahead and intercede that because Kansas was on their way to losing that game. And now they can say my bad, but you know, Sanford's going home where they needed to be on the sofa with us. They weren't going to bring any traveling money with them to the hotels. They were going to bring their 10 people and their eight cheerleaders and their 6-piece band. And, you know, nobody wants that. So we got to intercede.
Don't forget about the support staff. You got to remember the support staff. It's all the tutors.
Okay.
All the
support staff. With all of that, that's 100 people. And then whatever is back home. But
oh, my. Okay. All right.
Kansas is the second big blue nation, and Bill Self is still the man, and he is still,
wait a minute,
you
how
know.
Did, how did you like Bill Self and you don't like Tom Perry?
I didn't say I like Bill Self. I just said he's the man as far as Kansas is concerned.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily a Bill Self guy. I think I remember Coach Leonard Hamilton telling me that he was on his staff at one point. Now he's bigger than life, but no, I'm not necessarily a Bill Self.
I didn't like Bill Self the way he walked away from Illinois, and he said he wasn't leaving.
You know, but again,
he pulled a Lincoln Riley.
TJ, you know that we have to make life decisions, and if some of my life decisions were broadcast across every news outlet, and then people are asking me while I'm trying to make those decisions, you going? You staying? You going? You staying? I probably say lie to you too and say, no, I'm okay. I'm settled here. But if
I'm
I
happy.
Had a nickel for how many coaches in every sport said, I'm not going anywhere, and then next week they're gone.
I'm
we
happy
wouldn't like
here.
Any of these guys.
My kids are, I love when they say my wife is happy. My kids are in school.
There you go.
And next thing you know, you wake up the next morning, Coach so-and-so has left. What?
There you go. Lincoln Riley. Look at Lincoln Riley. We could go, oh, my God, as far as coaches. And Nick Saban.
Coach Kelly. Coach Kelly. You know, hot channeling
right.
out of Notre Dame to go on to LSU.
That's
and he changed his accent. He went from a Midwest accent to a Louisiana accent.
Overnight.
Like, you know,
he
overnight.
Got a southern drawl overnight. Look at Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly just left UCLA right after National Signing Day and said, I'm leaving this
dry.
Head coaching. Yes.
It's not for me anymore, he said. I'm happy to be at Ohio State. I feel at home. But Ryan Day was his quarterback at New Hampshire. So there's a familiarity there. So that was a smart move by Ryan Day pulling that off.
Did he convince you to leave your head coaching job to come and be an offensive coordinator?
Kelly got I guarantee you there's a story out there that they're not discussing. And probably going to keep it under wraps because Chip did the right. You know, sometimes.
So if Ryan Day falls by the wayside, is Chip Kelly the next coach?
Well, who knows? Chip Kelly will end up somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's the next coach at Florida. You never know.
Listen, I don't know. You know, there's some guys out there that I don't care how desperate we get. I just don't want. And I used to say that about Nick Saban. I'm sorry, Nick Saban. Come out of retirement and go coach. Come on out of retirement and come to Florida. We'll do right. We'll be good. Come on, Nick Saban.
Oh my God, that'll become the biggest story of the year if that happened.
Oh yeah, just like Urban Meyer having headaches and needed to sit down because he had stress and medical issues, and then the next year he takes a year off and then he goes to Ohio State. I don't even know if he takes a year off. He takes 6 months off. And then he goes to Ohio State, you know, these guys. But we force them to lie because we always have a mic in their face when they're trying to make life decisions. And I know for a fact when I've had to make life decisions, I didn't want a mic in my face. I wanted to sit down and commune with God and see what move I needed to make next. We force them to tell some of this foolishness.
So what type of life decisions does Sanford make? I mean, how do you tell those kids – How do you say sorry? We got it wrong, but we're going home. Is there something that the NCAA gives when they make a mistake? Because it's all about kids, remember?
It's all about the kids. Kids, come on home. You know, come on home and sit down. Nobody wants to see y'all play in the second round. Come on home.
That's what it seemed like. Their one shining moment. And so that shows you when a Yale knocks out a Auburn, when you remember the run that Shaka Smart had back in 2011 with that VCU team, that they're beating when they do these upsets and these teams go far. And before, it was Florida Atlantic on last year, San Diego State. No one really wanted to see them. So not only they were beating Vegas, they were beating the team they were playing. They were beating the refs. There was no way those upset teams could be denied because their performances were just lights out for that one shining moment. And you know, once again, that's why we love, college ball, and we know, and we love, talking about it, Princess. And I'm at a loss of words. I'm so excited to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen today with these games? I know there's going to be a couple of teams that lose today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know it.
There are going to be a couple of teams that lose for sure. Get prepared. And I want to see North Carolina. Who do they – and Michigan State. That's going to be – I don't know how you reward a one seed by putting Michigan State in your bracket. In your region.
But you know what? I was watching, Coach Dan Hurley said something very interesting. He said, we are not going to play down to our competition. We're going to let Stetson know that they don't have no shot to upsetting us. Connecticut played like the number one team in the country from start to finish. I don't know how that type of energy, gets stopped. He's starting to remind me of Jay Wright. And I always wonder if Jay Wright had the talent that John Calipari had, what would it look like? Really someone coaching up and building a culture. Hey, if you come here, and I know I'm going back to Calipari, I said I wouldn't do it. If you come here, you're not going to be a one and done. You're going to have to give me 2 years. Give me 2 years, and I'll make sure you're ready for the NBA. And you look at the players that he brought out from Villanova. They're contributing. So, oh, man. All right, no more Kentucky talk. Folks, I'm done. I'm not going to talk. Kentucky is going to remind me of my Cowboys. I need to call a therapist after this, Princess.
Yeah.
It's like a bad breakup. I just can't get over it right now. I need a moment. I need a moment, folks. Live on air. Not live on air. Live on air. I'm in crisis, folks. I'm in crisis. Princess, you're going to act as my therapist. No, get me off the ledge.
Yeah. You should never put all your eggs in John Calipari's Calipari's back in the first place. I blame you. You need therapy, and I'm not the one. No.
You know what, folks? Don't call Princess Cooper if you really in crisis. You know, you're on the ledge. You know.
Don't call me.
She's going to tell you, hey, you should be in that predicament anyway. Do what you're going to do. Thanks. I'll call someone else, you know. So, Sanford, anyone out there from Sanford, you listening, hey, my heart goes out to you. We feel bad for you. We're riding with you. You know, NCAA is going to make it up to you next year, I promise. Sweet 16 run, Sanford University next year. They're going to make it up to you.
Try to win some regular season games, Sanford.
They did. They had a good season.
Talking about next year.
Thomas,
is that you have to you build up to this and you get 27, 26 wins, 29 wins, and you perform well in the conference tournament. You may not win it, but you get well and you get ready for March. And then the first round, you lay an egg. You didn't play your best game. And, you know, or your shots weren't falling, or your wasn't the best defense, or, you know, you didn't make the right decisions. And just like that, you get to go home, and then you got to decompress a little bit. But a week from now, you got to get back out on the recruiting trail. You got to start this all over again. Right? Sometimes
yeah.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah, so... You know, what does these schools that get upset, what do they say to incoming – because incoming classes are mostly
mm-hmm.
intact.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's going to be some fallout with kids possibly declaring for NBA or transferring,
mm-hmm.
you know, for opportunities. So those are going to be some tough conversations that are going to be had between, you know, over the next 2 weeks, you know, into June. I think the transfer portal opens back up for basketball. But I know there's going to be a lot of movement within that portal. But I'm waiting to see what Louisville does, because they're still going through a coaching search.
Mm-hmm.
So does Louisville try to lure someone from Lexington to Louisville? I've heard that rumor. It's out there.
Louisville tried to lure Lamont Parrish from South Carolina. That's why South Carolina acted on the increase before the season ended.
But
Louisville
I've heard they're looking across state.
Well, they should. I think Calipari has a good staff, and I think he has a winning formula. I just don't think that translates into the March Madness. 15 years and one national championship is not what Big Blue Nation thought they would be doing.
They want more, but here's the reality. What was Kentucky before they got there? I think people forget about the lean times that school was under after Tubby Smith won that championship in 95.
But now remember, Rapinoe was there. Rick Pitino was there and had some great years.
But he was there before. Remember, Tubby Smith was his assistant. So when that controversy
exactly.
happened with Pitino, Tubby, that was actually Pitino's team he won the championship with. But that was 96. In 97, 98, 99, 2000, there were some lean years with Kentucky.
With Calipari that there have been lean years? You think these have all just been just great years?
If you go back and look, you know, Calipari's been a lot of things, but if you look at his record at UMass, what he built there, if you look to what he did, you know, he went to the NBA, came back, and look what he did at Memphis, and then that rolls right over to Kentucky. He's had more winning seasons than losing seasons.
He's only had one losing season. That's, see, that's what I'm talking about here. He's only had one losing season.
But he
so
has
your hopes
one
get so high.
Championship. He has one less championship than the great Dean Smith.
I'm not a proponent of Dean Smith either.
How many coaches have a national title? How many great coaches with great players lack national championships? So I think we got to reassess.
All I know is that the University of Florida won back-to-back national championships.
And how many of those players were? There was a different time. If those players. And they had that. Those teams were loaded. Matter of fact, oh my God, forget his he's from Hatboro Horsham, out right outside of Philadelphia. Matt Carroll was on those teams. Those teams were loaded. They were
Matt
loaded.
Matt Carroll.
Yeah.
Was on the University of Florida team.
Yeah. He was. He
don't remember.
Not Matt Carroll. Oh my God.
It was Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford,
Matt Carroll was a, Matt Carroll. Go back and look at that recruiting class. Matt Carroll was a freshman on that team. He was a McDonald's All-American in 96. So he came there when they won that second. He was there for that second title, not the first.
No. That wasn't in the 90s. Those titles were in 2006 and 7.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. My bad.
Matt Carroll went to. And I'm actually talking men's basketball. What happened was, and Matt Carroll was Ole Miss, I thought, but the national championship in basketball, and then they win a national championship in football, and come back and win a national championship in basketball again. That's what I was talking about. Did I lose you?
No. I was actually looking it up.
Okay.
But folks, this has been a great show. Once again, this was a special edition. So you guys will get me at my regular time, next Friday between 6 and 7 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. And this is the crossroads where life and sports intersect. Princess, do you have any final words before we depart?
No. I'm just happy I got a chance to hate on John Calipari. My day is done.
Your day is done. And see,
mission complete.
I haven't even started to hate on Florida. I could, but I leave him alone. You know, you guys did have Billy Donovan, so I'll give
and Billy
you that.
Donovan has more national championships than John Calipari. I'll leave you with that. And then I won't be so. I commit to not being so petty next Friday. Okay.
You can. I think you will. I honestly think you will. Don't let Oakland, get to the Sweet 16.
Oh my!
If Oakland gets to the Final Eight, I'm done.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It could happen.
So, folks, we'll see you. We'll see
Saturday,
you next.
Thomas.
We say.
I said, have a great Saturday.
Oh, absolutely, I will. Absolutely. Thank you, Princess. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Be blessed.